You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by a good friend here of Songtime, who's been a part of the Songtime ministry for many years, singing at our Songtime conferences. And of course, you're familiar with her music as it plays on the program on a regular basis. We're joined by Damaris Carbaugh. Damaris, thank you so much for being a part of our Songtime program as we look at the Psalms.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It is my joy to be with you.
Damaris, your voice, your music has really impacted our listeners. I know that the 2 years ago when you were at our conference, and I think even the year before that, our listeners, our conference attendees have always been blessed by not only your musical talent, your ability, the gift that God has given you, but really your heart that's been captured into really giving the word of God through song. So tell us a little bit about what's behind all of that for you. What's your story? What brings you into this really ministry of music?
I was very young when I fell in love with music. I was about 8 years old when my father started a children's choir in Puerto Rico. That's where we lived for 3 years. And so that's, you know, that's where it begins, and that's where I kind of went, I just thought there was nothing more wonderful than music. And so that began a journey. When we got back to New York, my mother took me to a voice teacher in Carnegie Hall, and I was 11 taking classical training, but I was a very big 11. I was as big as I am right now at 11. But anyway, it has taken me years to realize that God is the giver. The Lord is the giver of every good and perfect gift. But it takes us, you can know that in a moment, because you have talent and you want to sing and you have a range and you can do things. But in a moment you can know, oh, look at this beautiful thing I have. But it takes a lifetime to understand why he gave it to us. And I also get moved by his... If I were God and I knew that you might abuse this gift that I'm giving you, I wouldn't give it to you. And yet the Lord is patient and waits for the real purpose behind why I do what I do. And I feel like it took the Lord a long time to teach me that these gifts that he's given us are truly to make him more beautiful and to make him visible to others so that they might turn to him. Even the Old Testament, even Solomon said, Lord, when he was praying for the new temple, he said, Lord, may even foreigners look to this place and pray to you, and that all the world will know that you're truly the only God. And so that's, in a way, that's enough. You know, I'm like fast forwarding 50 years, but it's basically God gave me this talent, but it has taken me a long time, that his purposes for the talent are way bigger than what I thought it was. Mine was just kind of self-satisfaction, you know, like me, think I'm great. And that really is such a dead end and leaves you so miserable, because I know so many people are there, have been there. But when you understand what his purposes are, you really begin to live. So I now sing wanting people to hear the message, because if you hear and see Jesus, you will not be the same.
And the scriptures have greatly influenced your music. I know that in concert, when you've been at our conference, you've often interlude with scripture that guides that song, giving us a little more insight into the lyrics that you're singing. How have the Psalms, we're working through this series in the Psalms, how have the Psalms influenced you as somebody who is not only performing, singing, but also picking and selecting these songs that will minister to the people that are there?
What I love about the Psalms is the heart of those that wrote it and the truth that they speak, even when the truth was ugly. And Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. What I love about the Psalms is these writers, whether it was David or whether it was Asaph or whether it's another one, Moses, whatever, these people are not afraid to say, why am I so depressed? Or, you know, how long, Lord, will I wait for your answer? Because that's how we feel sometimes. And what I love about the Psalms is that the Lord can handle, not that I'm not in any way advocating being disrespectful, but the Lord can handle the agony that we sometimes feel. But it also shows us how the Lord loves us to to praise him. I love when it says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. So no matter how you're feeling, I really hope that my heart is, Lord, you know, I really feel miserable right now, and it stinks the way I feel, but you deserve for me to walk into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart. So I just feel it. The Psalms prepare you, but also show you the truth. And we must, he said, he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what I love about the Psalms. Some of them are very comforting. Some of them are very uplifting. But some of them are really, you almost want to go, I can't believe this is in here. but it tells the truth. And the Lord, I feel, invites us to be truthful with him. And I don't think there's anything that he enjoys more than hearing the truth, because that's not only what he says. Jesus not only speaks the truth, he is truth. So that's how the Psalms prepare me, in that they speak the truth. They also tell me the greatness of God. They also remind me of all that he's done. They also tell me that he's my shepherd in such a beautiful way. He leads me. He guides me. It really is, it's all there. And it's, you know, I didn't come up with this, but I remember somebody saying, look where it is in the Bible. It's like in the heart of the Bible, right in the middle. And that's where our hearts should be, just always, always giving to the Lord our heart, no matter what the condition of the heart is.
Music has a unique capacity to deliver a message, to communicate a truth, and yet get past a lot of the barriers that we often put up, cognitive or otherwise, and get right into the heart of the matter. And in leading people in song, whether it's a solo or you're leading them in a corporate singing, You as a leader, as somebody who is directing that song, can communicate very clearly in a needful way that the audience often doesn't even realize that they have. Have you experienced that as you travel and work in churches and in larger venues to communicate communicate truth through song?
Absolutely. Well, that's the sweetest compliment also. And even though I don't think you're talking about this specifically, but let me tell you something that's very important to me, is that when I sing a song, people understand my words, because there's a message. and some people know this, some people, I've said it sometimes, but I did jingles for many years, and they emphasize diction like in an incredible way, to the point where it almost drives you nuts, because they'll say, you know, you didn't give us enough T, you didn't give us enough S at the end of that word. But years later, when I started to record sacred music, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, if it's important for these advertisers and these companies to get their, you know, to get what their product says is, you know, it is, or what it gives or what it brings, if it's important to them, how much more important? So first of all, I don't write any of my songs, so I really scrutinize the songs that I do pick, because I always want them to be sound, scripturally sound. I have been presented songs that I go, you know what, I don't really think that's what the scriptures say, because I want my songs to definitely be a reflection, or like, you know, a rewriting of what's already in the word, because really that's what these hymns are. You know, somebody will take it and they're like, to God be the glory, great things he hath done, so loved be the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in, Fanny Crosby. But that's John 3:16. You know, she just kind of put it in her words, but it's the word. And so that is, to me, my songs have got to point people to Christ and have got to point people to his word. And the sweetest compliment is when people will say, you have no idea how every time I hear he's been faithful, I am reminded that God truly is faithful. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We are faithless, he will remain faithless, for he cannot disown himself. Oh, and I forgot, if we disown him, he will also disown us. But if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. So when I sing he's been faithful, I'm reminding them of what Paul wrote to Timothy in that portion of scripture. So that's everything to me. It's the word of God. That's the only thing that won't return void. That's the only thing that will, heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. So his word means everything to me. And every song that I pick, no matter how, even if it's an up-tempo and kind of cute, but it still has to say, like, my up-tempo, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. That's straight up a psalm, you know. So I always want it to be the word, Adam, always, because that's what changes the heart. That's what can move in a person's life. It's not my words, it's his word.
It is interesting how the pairing of great words, great lyrics, and the ones that you've even shared come also with tunes that are memorable. They're melodic. They can also guide our hearts into that feeling, that emotion. It's almost as though, and I know I don't have this gift, I don't have the qualities in the singing voice that you have, or even the ability to put song and music together, but there is, in the singer-songwriter kind of way, a tune that fits with the words that we're saying, correct?
Absolutely. And many times I will reject a song because it actually might have great words, but it doesn't sing right. It's clunky, or it's you know. I remember getting one song that had the word had the syllable in the. And meanwhile, they're saying that that's now like poetic license. Never mind. Not with this old lady. I don't want to just. It has to be. And you know, Adam, can I tell you something? The truth is, there's a lot of secular music, and though we're not talking about secular music, where they can teach us a lot about. Especially the music of the 1940s. You talk about the Gershwin and how they wrote words and how it sings like the way you speak. It just falls right. And to me, that has to go hand in hand. I sometimes will say, I just can't sing that because he's saying, I remember one song that had the word like sanctuary, but the word like sanctuary, and I was like, no way, I am not singing that because it just it's not right. And I think everything should be done with excellence. And there are some things we can learn sometimes, you know. Even Jesus said when it came to money, sometimes that those in the world know sometimes how to handle it a lot better than we do. And not that we should be ungodly, but there are some things we can learn about good poetry and good rhythm. Because when a song is written well, oh my goodness, the impact it will have.
And there certainly are a lot of those songs that have withstood the test of time. And,
exactly.
And what are the songs that stand out for you that really speak to that combination of a lyric that is rich as well as the music that has carried it? It's not even a particular song that has its own little kind of date and culture and time, but mm-hmm. It's one that's transcended all of that.
You know what song? Every time I turn on the news and you hear some other explosion or some other, you know, craziness or you know, somebody just horrific. I mean, and now that information can get to us so quickly, I just feel like we're bombarded. And you know what song always comes to me when I just feel like hopeless almost, but we have hope. The song that Steve Green sang. People need the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I said, that's the answer. People need the Lord. So that's one to me that will never get old, because that's just the simple truth of the mess we have. So that one, oh, my goodness. And, you know, I just love so many old ones that, and he's been faithful. You know, when I sing that, I forget that it was written in 88, it's pushing 30 years ago. And also I sing some John W. Peterson songs like How Rich I Am. That was written in the 60s, so that's 50 years old. And that was just written so beautifully. So I think the ones that are that way will last forever. I'm not going to be alive 50 years from now, but believe me, 50 years from now, the ones that are really good will still be around, and those that are not so good will be long forgotten.
We've been talking with Damaris Carbaugh. We can hear her music here on Songtime on a regular basis, and maybe we'll have her come back to one of our conferences again to minister to us in song. It's always a blessing to have you here on the Cape, but also to have you here on the program as well. Damaris, thank you so much for being available to us and talking to us about how the Psalms and how music has impacted you and impacted us as well.
thank you, Adam, for just allowing me and giving me this opportunity to share something that I love to share. So thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.